Adam, you're next.
All right, well, I talk fast, and if given 5 to 7 minutes, I will speed up even faster. But as you can see in my PowerPoint, it's all explained to you visually. What do I believe? I believe that cost-benefit analysis, if conducted humanely, I think of myself as the Jean-Luc Picard of cost-benefit analysis. I don't think there's a Kirk-Spock dichotomy that has to be a lose-lose. If it's done humanely, if it's done without underestimation of risk and overestimation of cost, note carefully, underestimating risk, overestimating cost are the problems, then it provides the most useful information we have to help us choose the optimal solution to environmental health and safety problems. Even if it's not required by statute, I think it can be extremely useful. I believe that centralized OIRA review of all the elements of decision-making, the risk, the cost, and the solutions, if conducted even-handedly and by staff with the requisite expertise and training, can and, in my experience, has improved regulations and thereby improved the world in which we live. And I believe that a regulatory system in which hundreds of billions of dollars of real resource cost and, whether you monetize them or not, real health and environmental suffering hang in the balance must spend maybe even half of 1% of those sums on good analysis, and that would directly imply huge increases in staffing and resources for the regulatory agencies and for OIRA. But I think we have to be honest about the track record of OIRA, and I appreciate what Don said a little while ago about it's the Grinch and the place that says no. I think OIRA has not been even-handed through the whole 25-year history. And just as a couple of themes here, let's remember the OIRA staff invented and spread somewhat like a virus across the landscape the idea that risk assessors exaggerate risk. Steve Breyer, Justice Breyer, has picked up on it. I believe Cass Sunstein believes that. But my research and that of many others has shown that that really is a hoax not based on any empirical observations whatsoever. National Academy of Science just in December released a report, among other recommendations, said that EPA and the other agencies really need to think very hard about immediately adjusting upwards a lot of its cancer risk estimates because they've been studiously ignoring the great heterogeneity in the population with respect to its susceptibility. Of course, OIRA staff also invented and spread what I think is the ridiculous idea of these league tables. We talked about them a little bit earlier. No appreciation of uncertainty, no appreciation of the relative ranking that could be completely different if uncertainty was taken into account. And if you believe Lisa Heinzerling's work and some stuff that I and others have written, the idea is that you could take money from programs that were in fact never even created and give it to programs for whom more money would not save any more lives. Money is not the limiting factor here. And I think, when Don said this is an agency that an institution that sees itself as being there to say no, I think that is something that needs to be fundamentally rethought, and I want to talk a little bit about that. In the exchanges that I had with OIRA when I was at OSHA and when I was asked to sit in on a couple of major EPA rules, I think the vast majority of the suggestions made were helpful, but they were almost all. I have a note in my files about the methylene chloride rule. We were given 37 items to respond to, and 37 of them were about could we do a little bit less with a little bit less, and there were no suggestions at that time for could we do maybe a lot more with a little bit more. I think another systematic problem that I experienced, and this of course dates back some years, but OIRA as befitting the landscape as a whole was, I think, had a tendency to fall for every bogus claim of a risk versus risk trade-off that was ever put forward. If you could see the slides, I have a cover from the National Lampoon from 1973 with a very cute little terrier on the cover, and it says, if you don't buy this magazine, we'll shoot this dog. And a lot of the things that I had to deal with were, if this rule goes into place, terrible things will happen, and the terrible things were completely in the province of the regulated community to either allow to happen or to avoid. And I want to get back to risk versus risk in a minute. So I think, although I believe in centralized review, I think looking backwards and then trying to look ahead to what centralized review might look like in the next 8 years needs to be, number one, focused on improving the cost estimates of regulation. So Dean Revesz said a few minutes ago, uncertainty in risk, uncertainty in valuation, but that's only the two big components of the benefit side. The cost side of the equation is how much do these rules actually take away from us in opportunity in order to implement, and that's the broken, in my view, the broken part of the process. And I'm working with RFF and Princeton and Penn people about why is it that regulatory economics can't come to grips with uncertainty in cost and the variation in cost that would help tell us who it is who's actually bearing these costs. Number two, as I said, focus more on ways in which very bright people, very good policy analysts can help the agencies do a lot more good with a little bit more cost rather than always saying no or thinking of ways to chip away at this edifice of regulation. Third, and a lot of the comments on the executive order mentioned this, but I don't think any of them really did it in a quantitative or formal way, equity and the quantification of equity, not just putting special weights on special subpopulations that we care about, but coming to grips with the fact that individual risks vary. I'm more on the human health side of this equation, but the same thing would apply to environmental risks as well, and that at the tail of the distribution where individual risks are intolerable, we have to have a quantitative way to give those intolerable conditions more than proportional weight, the value of life divided by 10, 1 in 10 of you will die, so that's a $600,000 harm. We don't always deal with small risks. The last OSHA rule, the only OSHA rule to come out of that place in 8 years for chromium, written by the agency based on a risk assessment, vetted through industry and very fine piece of work, reviewed by OIRA, upheld by the courts recently, allows, after the rule takes effect, a risk of between 1 and 4 per 100 for the people exposed to chromium. My view is if we can't produce goods with chromium and keep people under 4 in 100, we should be talking about bans rather than exposure limits.
Adam, you got one more minute.
All right. So, and on equity, come on, we already deal with the tail of the distribution on equity on the cost side. We've been doing it for years. We don't talk about it.
There's a risk.
Yeah. This doesn't come out of
come out here. Wow. I saw it, but it was, yeah.
It's not locked in.
It's an old movie.
Yes. No, I can do this all in 45 more seconds, maybe. 45. Please, maybe 45. Come on.
But nobody else.
Okay. That'll be on YouTube tonight.
Are you guys okay? Rena?
All right, let's get that. We'll give Adam a whole more minute.
It was like slow motion up here. We could just see it going.
It was like the Titanic.
Go.
All right.
45 seconds.
Gun. Equity and cost. I'm talking about equity and risk. On the cost side, there's a shadow distribution of the individual costs of regulation, and when people are in the tail of that distribution, we call them recipients of variances, lobbyists for congressional appropriations riders. This is the system we have, and it's perfectly appropriate, but we need to have some parity and deal more than proportionally with people who are proportionally affected by the lack of regulation. Number four, I think OIRA should stay out of the science. If they're not willing to massively staff up both at the leadership and the staff level, it's just not appropriate. I have all kinds of quotes here from people like John Graham and Boyden Gray and some scientists talking about the decades where this has been allowed to go on. And once in a while, it'd be nice if OIRA helped save the agencies from themselves, and that's the ergonomics issue where some more serious, I understand why that didn't happen, but couldn't resist saying
that. We're
going to
stop at 4.
Okay. And then can I have my prescription now?
You'll go.
Okay.
We'll come back to
okay,
that.
Okay. Thank you.